All right. Those of you who don't know who we are, my name is Tom Scarella. My wife, Susie, and I are evangelists from, I almost said Florida. We've been in Florida for 13 years, just like tongue in cheek, right? And so we relocated since we were here last year. Now we live here in the Midwest. We live up in Minnesota. And so it's good to be back with Midwest people. And we just love being home. That's where I grew up, was Minnesota. And so we love traveling. We've been on the evangelistic field for the last 22, 23, something like that, years. I've been in full-time ministry about 31 years. And so we've ministered all over different parts of the world, different parts of the U.S. And, in fact, in 2 weeks, we'll be ministering in Norway. Then I go right from Norway, I go to Sweden, and then right from Sweden, then I'll end up probably in Denmark, and then on my way from Denmark over to the UK, over in England. And so we'll be ministering all over there, bounce back, minister in Topeka, Kansas, and all over. And we end up in South Africa for the month of August and September, and then kind of swing our way back, and I don't even know where we go from there, but we go somewhere from there. So, but we're in about 50 some different churches a year, but we always love coming back to Indiana. Come on, somebody. Amen. We love it. And we love your church, and we love what God's doing. So, real quick, if you were not here earlier in the week, I'll just share this with you. We did bring some resources with us. We don't bring these just because I have an extra suitcase. We bring these because we know what products do in people's lives. Why? Because I knew that myself, and that's how I grew in the Lord. It was through reading material and listening and stuff like that. And so we wrote a whole book that's in a manual type format. Some people do it in a personal devotional type. Other people do it in, you know, a group setting. Whatever it is that you'd like to do, it's very, very easy reading. But it's just called How to Hear the Voice of God. And so it's all about hearing God's voice. And so I talk about the 10 different ways that God speaks to you all the time. You may not even recognize it, all right? So secondly, we just did two major conferences last fall. Last fall we did our biggest one of the year, which was in Minnesota. We did our healing conference, our annual healing conference last year, with John G. Lake Ministries, Curry Blake, and it's just called the Healing Conference. There's about 15 messages. We had people fly in from Scotland and Switzerland and South Africa and you name it. They flew in from California, from Florida, from Texas, from everywhere. We just had the same conference up in New York, in the Syracuse area last week. And we had the same thing. People flew in from all over. And so we're actually going to start doing something. You're the first church I've ever shared this with. But he and I are going to start doing regional major healing conferences like they did in the 1950s, Voice of Healing. And so we're going to bring in other healing ministers. And we're going to call we're calling it the IDHA. It's for International Healing Association, which is exactly like the 1950s. How many of you remember Oral Roberts, William Branham, A.A. Allen? They were all part of what was called the Voice of Healing. And so Curry and I are starting this organization. And so we're starting it next year. And we're going to do about four major conferences all over the U.S. And we're just going to keep moving it. I think our first one's in March. We're going to probably do it in Portland. And so, but you can get that conference. Secondly, also we did a prophetic conference with the most accurate prophet that I have ever met. I mean, this guy is so much like Jesus, not just because of his prophetic words, but because of the grace that's on his life. And his name is William Undy, and he's literally born in Zimbabwe, but he lives in South Africa. Phenomenal things that God's using this guy. He was telling me of, he went to India, and he was ministering in India, and he saw a series of numbers in the air as he was praying on the way to church. And he grabbed the pastor's cell phone and he just called the number, and it rang into the home of a billionaire, a multi-billionaire of a gold mine. And Prophet Undy began to prophesy over this gold mine owner. And this guy was a Hindu. And the guy got radically saved on the telephone. and flew with his private jet with his entire family to go to the meetings and wanted the whole family to get saved. Come on, amen. So Prophet Undi and I did a whole series on prophetic school. We called it prophetic school. You can get that afterwards. Okay. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles here, Brad, could you help me just slide that over right up to me? That'll be great. If you got your Bibles, go over to the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Now, I had no intentions this week of doing this, but it just, the Holy Spirit can change your plans. Come on, right? And so I just had certain things that I was going to share, and just the Holy Spirit just changed it when I got here. And so the last few days, I've been speaking on the subject of faith. I know Kenneth Hagin would be so proud of me. And just the Lord began to deal with me on right away on Thursday night and Friday night. And so we talked about how faith is released through your words, right? Just like your testimony, right? So faith is released by your words. Tell your neighbor, say, faith is released by your words. But also, listen, not only faith is released, but also worry is released or fear is released by your words. Fear and faith operate very, very similar because they're just different kingdoms. Fear and faith, they both operate the exact same way, but both of them are just from different kingdoms. So faith operates a particular way, and in exactly the way that faith operates, you'll see the exact same thing as far as with fear, and that's what worry is. Okay, so I'll share a little bit more about that in a bit. So in Hebrews 11, don't worry, I'm going to get you out before the Baptists this morning, all right? Hallelujah. You know what they say of Baptists in Indiana, don't you? There's more Baptists than people in Indiana, so. Bad joke. I'll tell you a funny joke. I'll tell you a funny joke. There was a well-known preacher that, anyone know Joel Osteen? All right, his dad was a Holy Ghost preacher. You wouldn't know it by Joel, but he was a Holy Ghost preacher. His dad was, all right? And I got to see his dad just about a few months before he passed away. And his dad had Lakewood Church for decades. And they were givers. Man, you talk about givers. He had a goal from the foundation of the church to tithe 90% to missions. So 90% of the church's income all went to missions. That's pretty good, right? And so John Osteen, he was a former Baptist preacher, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said he was in a meeting, and he said this Baptist friend of his said, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I don't want that tongue thing. And so John said, well, have you ever bought a new pair of shoes? And the guy said, yeah. He goes, the tongue comes with the shoe. You can't take it out. John said, we used to sing in the Baptist church, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. He said, I got one more and scared them all to death. He said, I don't know what they do with 1,000 of them, he said. But all right, I better not keep going, all right? So Hebrews 11 says this, now faith is. So right there, the first three words tell us faith has a timeline. Now faith is. So when is faith? Now. It's not going to be. Faith is now, right? So now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. Things that are seen were not made, excuse me, of the things that are visible. So here in verse 1, he says, listen, now faith is the substance. All right? The substance. Or another version says, the assurance. Everyone say assurance. Here he says, faith is the assurance of, in that word, as it keeps on going here, it uses this word, the evidence. That actual word is the word guarantee. It's the guarantee. Come on. So what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the guarantee of the things that cannot be seen. Come on, right? I mean, it's a guarantee. You know, you go to buy a house, right? You go to buy a house, you put a deposit or an assurity. Come on. When you put the assurity down, do you have the house yet? No, but the house is going to be yours. Come on, right? So faith, what is faith? Faith is the assurity. Then he goes on to say, the guarantee of the things which are not seen, right? So what is the guarantee? Once you have the keys, are you in the house yet? No. So in other words, what is faith? Faith is now. Faith is a persuasion, one version says. Faith is a persuasion based on what you've heard. So then it goes on to, in verse 3 here, it says this. It says, for by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God, right? Okay. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So by God's Word, now watch this. God's Word frames what it is that you want from God. Come on, right? So here he says, listen, God's Word framed this entire planet. Now everything in the kingdom works this way, so you have to understand this. So here's the frame, like you have a frame of a picture. Is that true? Right? So you have a frame of a picture. The same thing is true with God's Word. God's Word gives a frame. His Word, His spoken Word. Come on, right? That's why I was talking about the other night. I was talking about words. So as we were talking about words, what do? Words are identifiers. Words are containers. Look up here. I've got a bottle of pure water. This is just a container, right? This plastic thing is nothing but a container. I could put strychnine in here, right? I could put battery acid in here. All this is a container. This plastic thing is nothing but a container. Right now, it contains pure water, right? But what if I went and I said, who would like a drink? You'd all say, oh, wow, that'd be great. But what if I just put just 5 or 6 drops of sewage water in there? Just a few drops. Come on, I mean, it's just a little bit. Would you still want to drink it? No. See, why? Because, why? Because now it's been tainted. And the same thing is true, as I was talking the other night, about our words. That's why James says, out of your mouth is coming blessing and cursing. In other words, your containers that are coming out of your mouth is producing good stuff and poison. And he says, listen, this ought not be. Come on, amen. This is why, parents, this is why children backslide. Because they hear their parents speaking good things at church, and then they go home and they live a total different life. This is why my wife was backslidden and never accepted Jesus till she was 21. It's because she saw this in her father. She saw him be the loudest one praising in the church. And the moment they got into the car, something else began to be spoken. Come on. We call that hypocrisy, right? Now, nobody in Indiana is like that, so praise the Lord. It's just other places, but okay. Now go here, let go down, jump down to verse 6. Now verse 6 says, but without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what does he reward us with? Does he reward us with car accidents and tragedies? Is that how he rewards us, children? Is that how you reward your children? You say, Johnny, I'm so glad you got an A on your test. Come over here Daddy's going to break both your legs today just to show you he loves you. Come on, is that, you'd be arrested, wouldn't you? So, guess what? Our Heavenly Father's the exact same way. Our Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts, come on, right, to them that seek Him, all right? So, here it says, it's impossible to, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, go over to your left, go to the book of Acts chapter, go to Romans. Sorry, I'm going to give you several scriptures. I'm getting ahead of myself. So Friday night, we talked about faith is released by your words. Last night, we talked about the natural and the spiritual, right? We talked about faith is released by actions. Faith is released by your actions, by what you do. Come on, right? That's how faith is released. When the Bible talks about faith, if you read from Matthew all the way through the book of Acts, you'll constantly see faith was connected in every miraculous or supernatural event. Okay? And so here the Bible says, okay, so God, we already know that God is a rewarder and we can't please God without faith.
True.
Okay. So in Romans, did I say Romans 10? Yeah, okay. Romans 10, very well known verse. I always say this, read the Bible like you've never read it before. All right? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So now we know this, is that this is how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Are you ready for this? Fear comes by hearing the word of the devil. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. We also call this something else. We also call it worry. You ever notice you can't worry really for someone else? You have to really, it's all really about you. Right? You ever notice that? Worry is really, I heard one preacher say this, worry is like a rocking chair. There's a lot of movement, but you're not getting anywhere. Okay, so some people think, well, the way I show my children I love them is by worrying for them. That is not a badge of spiritual honor. That's a badge of spiritual babyhood. That's a badge of spiritual immaturity. That's what you're demonstrating. Keep preaching, Brother Tom. I will. Thank you so much. Sorry. It's too much enthusiasm. I got to contain myself here this morning. All right. So now faith has come. Faith comes for anything in your life by hearing the word of God. When I first heard the word of God, I heard it the first time in about 1976. I heard it from a preacher on TV. Whew, faith came. Oh man, I felt it hit my heart. The gospel. I heard the gospel for the first time, right? Then when I was a young teenager, boom, somebody else went and shared the gospel. When he shared the gospel with me, whew, faith came. I received God's word and I grabbed a hold of God's promise. I activated it, like I said the last two nights. I activated it by my action and by my words. Right? So what is the devil's goal with fear and worry? He wants to frame it. You can see it. You can see torture in your life. The devil comes to you. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Then he gets a quartet with his other two demon buddies. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now you got three of them singing a duet, and you sing the quartet. What are you going to do? 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 Are you with me? And that's how it comes, and it begins with a question. Just like it came to Adam, he caused him to question what? When Adam questioned God's word, he bit into this word, and the devil had his life framed. And so the devil's ultimate goal wasn't just to drop the seed, but he wanted Adam to open his mouth. He wanted words. Come on, right? Because that's how he knew it would get into this planet. Because that's the ultimate goal of worry. Worry gets you thinking about it. You're laying in bed. You can see your husband in that car wreck. You can see that sickness and disease just taking over your home. And then all of a sudden your eyes opening, you're meditating on it, meditating on it, meditating on it. You're thinking about it 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour later. You're thinking, now I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And pretty soon now the enemy's got you because you've opened your mouth and you're releasing words of what he is framing in your mind. Come on, right? This is nothing like I thought I was going to share this morning. This is nothing what I thought I was going to share. All right. But God's goal is this. God wants you to get your eyes on Jesus. God wants you to get your eyes off of what the enemy is saying. And he wants you to get your eyes on the Word of God. Now, one thing that many people do is, let me see. I think this will work. Yeah. What many people do is this. Many people begin to say, well, I know this is God's words, but their problem is they got a big but. All right. All right. They say, but I know a Christian and they went and prayed and absolutely nothing happens. And so what they do is they take experience and they begin to lift it above the Word of God. And once you lift this above the Word of God, now all of a sudden you have put yourself in a position that is not with God, but is against God. Come on, amen. So now go to your left, go over to the book of Acts, and I want you to see this here, because I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about how does faith come to us? How does faith come? Now, last night I quoted the scripture, God gives to every man the measure of faith. So all of us are given the measure of faith, but your faith can grow. Jesus called the disciples, oh, you of little faith. He talked about the centurion having the greatest faith. Okay. So in Acts 14, in verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was seated, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Okay. So here's a scenario. This man is lame, crippled from his mother's womb. Never walk. I mean, his legs are totally atrophied. This man heard. He what? He heard what? He heard Paul speaking. What do you think Paul was speaking? God's word, right? He heard, in other words, we can say it like this. This man heard God's word, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Said to the man, so you mean words have got to be taken place even for ministering healing. He said to the man, he didn't say to God, he said to the man with a loud voice, stand up on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Come on, right? So we see several things in there. We see in healing, we say he never even talked to God about it. Try this church over here. He never even talked to God about the healing. Okay, you got one last crack at it over here, all right? He never said one word to God about this man's healing. See, these guys, they've got you beat, all right? Okay. So here, what does it say? It says, Paul said to the man, or you'll see again and again, Jesus said to the person or to the sickness. They never spoke to God. They never said, oh, Lord, you know, she's the head of the Sunday school. Lord, thank you for this lady. Lord, I hear some people pray when it's time to minister healing to people. And they're like, oh, Lord, she's a good lady. Lord, and she's the head of the Sunday school. And God, she doesn't run anybody over and kill anybody. Or, God, we thank you for the book of Lamentations. And I mean, it's just like they're going all over the place. Just speak to the sickness. Come on, somebody. Just speak to it. I said, just speak to it. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, just speak to the thing. Hallelujah. That's what he did. He spoke to the man, and the man was healed. Once he perceived, he had faith. So where did the faith come from? Did God just drop it on him? No, the man heard. Come on, right? So the man heard something. What did he hear? He heard the words of God. right? So that's one of the things. Now, y'all still love me here this morning, right? Maybe we should take the offering before I say this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Okay. Let me just say something to you just because I love you, all right? How many of you want to grow in the Lord? Okay. How many of you want to hear God's voice clearer? Raise your hand. Okay. If you do, start to bring your Bible to church. Why? Because there's a proven fact. Psychologists have proven that what you hear in an open setting like this, less than 40% what you hear do you remember. Pastor just told me there was a study done, and the majority of people in this one particular church, they asked them 20 minutes at the end of the message, what was the sermon about? And 90% of them couldn't tell you anything. Jesus, I think it was about God or something, I don't know. You know why that is? Because they only heard it with this, and any distraction around them totally distracted them. Listen, probably closer to about 35% of what you hear me say will you remember if you don't bring your Bible. If you bring your Bible, you'll remember about 70%. A little bit less than 70. If you write notes, you'll remember almost 90%. Come on, right? If you reteach it, you will remember over 95% of what was said. Come on. Proven fact. Absolute proven fact. And I've proved it, and I've asked people point blank, what did we preach about? What were some of the scriptures today? Or what a lot of people say is, I got my Bible always with me. It's on my cell phone. And I say, great. Go ahead and turn to the scriptures that we covered today. I don't know. Are you with me? So I thank God for this device, but at the same time, there's something about having a Bible in front of you. Come on, somebody. Is it okay to say this morning? You can see my notes. I can show you what God spoke to me at various different times. It's a newer Bible, so I don't have a ton of notes in it. But hey, you can see that I've been reading my Bible. You can see notes. Ah, I remember when God said that to me. Come on, right? I remember when Pastor Rick said that. Oh, I wrote that down. Oh, that was good. Come on, right? But it's very difficult on your cell phone to do that, much less to go back and quickly find it. Is that okay to say this morning? I thank God for the digital age, but sometimes that can actually be a curse and not a blessing. Is that all right? Because listen, I want to see you grow. Because listen, when the storms of life come, and they will, when the devil attacks you, there's not always Pastor Rick or Tom Scarella there to pray for you. So if you don't have it for yourself that you say, thus says the Lord. Devil, it is written. Not Pastor Rick, could you quick come over here? No, you do it. I said, you do it. I said, you do it. Amen. And once you have that mentality, now you are not just dependent, but now you're raised up as a spiritual son. Come on. Amen. Is that all right? I had no intention to share this, but this is for somebody. Hallelujah. All right. So we have to hear the word. Everyone say, hear the word. So how do we hear the word? You actually hear the word more with your eyes than you do with your ears. That's why I do this. Because you actually see it in front of you. Because you actually hear better with your eyes than you do with your ears. The majority of what you take in for information, the majority is through the eye gate. Come on. Right? So, you know, if you think about it from God's perspective, here's God. God goes, and I'll just use me as an example. All right. God sends me 500 and some miles. He wakes me up with a dream to preach a message to you. He gets you through all the obstacles to get you to church, and you don't even bring your Bible. And the words are going, whoo, 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 whoo. And God says, all of this work is for nothing. Is that all right to be blunt this morning? Amen. So when I was a youth pastor, I used to be a youth pastor and a college pastor. And when I was, I used to always tell my kids that. Always bring your Bible. BYOB. See, you thought it was something else, didn't you? But it's bring your own Bible, right? And so I'd tell these kids, they'd come and they'd say, man, I forgot my Bible. I said, did you remember your pants? I said, you never walk into church and be like, Pastor Rick, I'm sorry, I got in a hurry, I ran out of the house, and I forgot my pants. If you did this morning, please kindly slip out now, okay? We won't just look at you, right? And so that's what I used to tell my kids all the time. You never say, I forgot my pants. Come on, right? So it's the same thing as true. Listen, John Knox was burned alive so that you could have this book in your hands, not in your house. He was tortured and burned alive on Greenwood so he would be tortured beyond belief. The skin peeled off of him. Not just him. Who else was it? Wycliffe or whomever, and all of these guys tortured beyond belief. Filleted. They filleted them until they would scream to be killed, revealing their rib cage and all of their internal organs so that you could have a Bible with you in church. They fought the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church put a death warrant on these guys. Martin Luther had to hide for years. He got in the most trouble for printing the Bible. Come on. I went to Wittenberg Castle. I was there. I got a whole video. You can go on my YouTube channel and see. I was there at Wittenberg Castle where he printed the Bible. The very first pages, 1517. And the Catholic Church had hitmen, hired hitmen to kill him. They weren't just going to smear his name. No, no, no. They wanted to decapitate him. Are you with me? You know why? Word of God. So what is the devil's number one fear in your life? The Word of God. Amen. So, amen. Pause, Selah. All right. So back to this thing with hearing the Word. So we hear God's Word. So faith comes by hearing God's Word. So we cannot elevate our experience. I can give you an experience of anything. Some people say, well, I know a person. Well, I know a person too. I don't build a dot. When I was a pastor in New Jersey, we had a guy give a prophetic word that Jesus was coming on the Starship Enterprise. Do you think Jesus is coming with Captain Kirk? That's my experience. Well, then if we're going to build on Aunt So-and-so because she wasn't healed, then I got to build on this dude on the Starship Enterprise. Come on. See, where do you stop with it? You understand? We cannot build what we believe on an experience. Come on. Your experience does not hold the same, what's the word I'm looking for? It does not hold the same water as the Word of God. Come on, right? So don't elevate anything but the Word of God. The Bible says he's even elevated his own word above his name. Come on, that's heavy duty, right? So the Word of God is even elevated above his own name, you know? So how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Not just hearing once, but hearing again and again and again. Now my son, his name is Paul. When he was born in 1990, I went and I said, the moment he comes home from the hospital, we had no money. I mean, no money. I just started my church and, I was working bivocationally, and so we had no money. I mean, poor people called us poor. I mean, cockroaches came to our house to go on a fast. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there was nothing. We had nothing, you know? And so we went, and I said, you know what we're going to do? The moment my son comes home from the hospital, I had a cassette player back in those days. Some of the younger people won't know what that is, but that old dinosaur, you know? But it was one of those ones that would turn over and keep repeating. You remember those? And so I would play the Word of God all night long. All right? The Word of God. I mean, all night long. And, so here the Word of God was just constantly playing. Actually, in those days, I used to listen a lot to Kenneth Hagin. I don't listen to him very much anymore, but he was just really a big influence in my early Christian life. And so I had all these messages of him, and I would play them. And I would play these messages of healing all night long. And for my sons, probably first 10 years, we never took him to the doctor once. He never got sick. Never, never. I mean, never had a cold, never had chicken pox, absolutely nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Just constantly every night. But I'll tell you something funny. When he was 7 years old, we went to a meeting in Tulsa, and he begged me to go hear Papa Hagen speak. And I'm like, listen, you're seven. You're never going to last this meeting. He's a long-winded preacher. There's no way you're going to last. I said, there's no coloring books. There's no games. You just got to sit there. And he goes, no, I want to see him. I said, all right. He goes, I hear him every night. I got to see him. I said, all right. So we're there. 10 minutes. I look down. He's asleep. So I wake him up and I said, hey, Paul, you were the one that wanted to be in here. And he goes, Dad, it's that voice. I hear it every night and fall asleep to that voice. All right. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, over in the book of Jude, real quick. All right. Second to last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. We could say it like this. Faith is stirred up different ways. So Jude, one chapter. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. Not the preacher building you up. Building, come on, help me, yourselves up. All right? On your most holy faith, by what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Okay? So here we talked about God's Word. Two, we talk about praying in the Spirit. Go back to verse 20, would you, up there? Now, my sister back here and her daughter from Gary, they came all the way from Gary. She saw us on YouTube because of a whole thing I did on praying in the Spirit. I'm telling you what, churches today don't preach on praying in the Spirit. They don't. I mean, it's the craziest thing. We've been for 2.5 years going after getting people baptized in the Holy Spirit in churches, and we've been shocked at how many people are not even filled with the Holy Ghost in churches. We've seen literally 60% of churches get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Literally 60%. I'm like, you're a Pentecostal church. How can you not be filled with the Spirit? All right. But here it says this, but you, beloved, what? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Ah, so by praying in the Spirit, I build myself up. Come on, right? Build myself up. Right? It's kind of like, it's like a car. You drive a car in the wintertime especially, and as you're driving the car, you could tell your battery's starting to go. Right? And as your battery's winding down and winding down and winding down, you can run it down till it's almost at zero, actually till it's at zero, and it won't even turn over. And then you got to get jumper cables out. Come on. And so somebody else has got to give you power. Is that right? They've got to jump you to get you started again. Or you could get one of these kind that you can just plug in to the power source itself and let it charge all night long and build it up. Come on, right? You know what? God is so smart. He puts within us the ability to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. By what? By praying in the Spirit. Everyone say, pray in the Spirit. So as you pray in the Spirit, you're praying in the Spirit. What are you doing? You're praying in the Spirit. You're speaking, it says according to 1 Corinthians 14, you're speaking divine mysteries. So even the devil doesn't know what you're saying. That's why he fights tongues more than anything else. Come on, right? The devil fights tongues more than any other subject in the church. I mean, people, they get just, I mean, looks like Lucifer's coming out of them. You know, they get so mad. I've seen preachers just so mad that you could see the veins popping as soon as you start talking about tongues. Right? I mean, like nothing else. There's no other subject that people get upset about as much as tongues. Well, that ought to tell you something. The importance of it. Throughout the scriptures, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you Corinthians. And they were praying in tongues a lot. So why was Paul praying so much in tongues? Ah, because he was building or encouraging himself in the Lord. He was building himself up. Come on, right? As you begin to pray in the Spirit, something begins to happen. I mean, I could tell you of time after time after time when I've spent time praying in the Spirit. I remember this one time I had an open vision. I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself here, but I had this open vision took place after I had spent a long period of time praying in tongues. I committed to the Lord that I would pray in tongues every day over an hour, just tongues for an hour. And so I started doing this every day. In that particular morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I prayed for 2.5 hours in other tongues before church. I had to preach this that morning and stuff. And so I'm praying in tongues 2.5 solid hours, and I got into the service, and I had a tongue and interpretation. I mean, I've had tongues interpretation like this. But the moment I started, I left my body. It felt like, I don't know if I was. Paul says, was I in the body? I don't know. Was I out of the body? I don't know. But I was caught up into the, I was caught up into heaven, and I was standing, and I wasn't going to share the vision, but I was standing next to Jesus, and he begins to write on the earth the scripture out of 1 Peter about your adversary, the devil, whom resist steadfastly. And as he's writing this on the earth, I saw the world peel apart, and I saw the devil. This is in 1989. I described him as a gangly, skinny, gray, bald-headed looking being that was skinny, and he kind of ran away like this. 20-some years later, then that, movie came out with Gollum. I saw a picture of it. I said, that's what the devil looks like, just like that. I had him in a vision 20-some years ago. I saw this almost 25 years ago. I told everybody for 25 years about what he looked like, and that's exactly what he looked like. Are you with me? So long period. Anyways, I'm trying to get at is that there's something about praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we open our spirit man up. Paul Youngi Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea, he starts every service with 15 minutes of prayer. Everyone comes in, the whole church. I don't mean like American praying. Look like they have a headache or something. That's not Korean praying. Korean praying, they have to have a bell. Because they pray so loud, the microphone system can't get over them. And so they have to bang this bell to stop the Koreans from praying. That's how loud they pray. Now, I didn't hear about it. I was there. They gave me a hammer to the bell to stop the Koreans from praying. I just said, let's just pray over the Word of God. Let's just pray over receiving the Word. They went nuts. I mean, they went crazy. You couldn't hear. I was screaming. I was whistling. Nothing. I had to bang the bell to stop them. But he starts every service. He says, we have to prepare the ground of the heart for receiving the words of God. And he would start 15 minutes. The whole church would pray in tongues. And then at the end of the service, when he got done, he'd say, okay, now let's seal. Let's put the ground over the word that was sown, and let's pray another 15 minutes in tongues. That's how they do every single service in that church. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor, say, pray in the Spirit more. Hallelujah. Right? Glory to God. So what does God do? Here's what happens. What did they do with that? Oh, there it is. So we said this. We said, listen, faith comes by hearing the word. As soon as you hear the word, faith comes, right? But you can also build yourself up on your most holy faith by what? Praying in the Spirit. But God can also stir up faith different ways in you by things such as words of knowledge. I'll just call it walk. Words of knowledge, prophecy, right? Or even things like visions. You may have a vision. How many of you ever had a vision? Raise your hand. Okay. And then also things like dreams. All right? So a dream and a vision are very similar. They both take place in the same realm. When you have a vision, there can be levels of visions, like where, you know, Paul was caught up into the third heaven. Or you may just have a perception and just see something. So there's different levels of visions. The same is, there's different levels of dreams. Are you with me? So, you know, so, and God can stir faith in you. I remember the first time, I may have shared this here, but where do I share that? I don't like sharing this story if it's going to fall on bad ground, but I'll share it with you. This is a very holy thing to me. The very first time I ever went to England, I went to a place called Ashington, which is up, you could throw a rock and hit Scotland. And so we were ministering in northern England, and at the end of the service, I went to my book table, and as I went to my book table, a man came up to me and goes, "Tom, hey." I go, "Hey." You know, I didn't know if he was a hamburger short of a Happy Meal or something, and so, because he kind of looked at me kind of crazy, like, "Hey." And I go, "Hey." So, I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Good." He goes, "It's me." I said, "Hey, me." I don't know who this guy is. He goes, "You don't recognize me?" I go, "No." And so he said, "Tom, it's me." He says, "You don't remember last year?" I said, "I remember last year, but what are you talking about?" He said, "You don't remember last year. You came here and you went to my mother's hospital and you were praying for my mother's healing. And after you prayed for her healing, you shared the gospel with me and I received Christ and we talked for over an hour. And then you wanted a Coke and I went to go buy you a Coke and I came back and you had disappeared. And all of a sudden I remembered I had a dream the year before that I had gone to a hospital and I prayed for a woman." Literally, my spirit, man, I don't understand theologically what happened, but somehow I had a dream and God used my spirit, man, to preach the gospel and pray for a woman's healing in England in a place I'd never been before. Come on, somebody. I'll tell you what, it stirred my faith. Now, that has not happened to me once or twice. That's happened to me almost a half a dozen times in my life where something has happened in my dreams, where God will do something like that. And so many times in my dreams, it's like faith is ignited. Because God will speak to me in my dreams. Because I've learned to tune an ear to my dream. I've learned to journal my dreams. Come on. Because let me just say this. If I haven't said this here, I'll say this. Is that visions are different than dreams, but very similar. Okay, though they take place very similar, a vision you'll remember for 100 years. How many of you had a vision a long time ago? You can still remember that vision. All right? Okay. But a dream, how many of you ever had a dream and you woke up and you went, "Whoa, I'll remember it tomorrow." How many of you ever said that? You can't remember one stitch of the dream, right? Okay, because the Bible says that dreams are fleeting. Daniel says dreams are fleeting. And so that's why the Bible says in the book of Daniel 7 times, "I wrote the dream, wrote the dream, I wrote the dream, I wrote the dream." So when as soon as you put a notepad by your bed to get up, if you have a dream, write the dream. I guarantee you the next morning, God will speak to you out of what was said to you. Come on, somebody. In the nighttime. Hallelujah. Come on, right? All right. So, but I wanted to drop that on you, and I want to show you something. Look here. Go to your left. Can I just share something real deep with you this morning? Is that all right? Okay, so go into the book of Ezekiel. I wasn't planning this. Oh, Lord, help me find it. Okay, here it is. Ezekiel 8. In verse 2. "Then I looked, and there was like the appearance of fire, like the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. And he touched the form of my hand, and he took me by the lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between heaven and earth." Watch that. Between heaven and earth. The Spirit lifted me up between what? Heaven and earth. So there must have been some kind of realm there. Okay, it's not purgatory, but in other words, the Spirit did lift us up there, lift me up there. And he brought me in the, so where did the visions occur? Between heaven and earth. All right. Okay. And then he goes on to describe the rest of it. So where did the visions occur? Between that realm of heaven and earth. That's why sometimes if you have a vision, you're like, Was I there? Wasn't I there? You have a dream and you say, I felt like I was there, but was I there? Come on, somebody. Why? You were caught up. Your spirit man was caught up. What happened in the midst of that? Ah, it stirred your faith. I said, it stirred your faith. I said, it stirred your faith. How many of you have ever had a dream and you just knew? You may not have understood the dream, but you knew in your heart God was somehow trying to say something. Raise your hand. Anybody? I mean, you knew it. You knew it. And maybe you didn't understand it. Maybe you didn't understand it. You know, not every dream you have is literal because it's a parable. Come on, right? So why am I saying all this? I'm saying this for this reason, is that God wants to build your faith up. He wants to build you up in what? Believing Him. I said, He wants to build you up in believing Him above everything else. He's coming at it from every angle. He's coming at it from your dreams. Even when you're asleep, God's like, she shut up. Or He did, all right? And so, or visions, right? He gives you a vision for a purpose, or a prophecy, or a word of knowledge, right? What does it do? It stirs up your faith. Your faith is stirred up. There's a stirring up. Wow, it's like so real. It's vibrant to you, right? Then he gives us another opportunity. He allows us to build our own selves up. Now we don't have to wait on the Lord. We can do it ourselves. Remember last night? What comes first? So natural first. So praying in the Spirit builds yourself up. Natural first, then spiritual. Amen? So as you begin to do that, you begin to build yourself up on your most holy faith. So I challenge you. I challenge you this week. I challenge you every day. Start to pray more in the Spirit. Come on, right? You're praying to God. God knows what you need to pray for. Your little peanut brain doesn't know everything. Unless you're a teenager. Then you know everything. Then all teenagers know everything. So. Right? So building yourself up on your most holy faith, right? So you can build yourself up. But also He gives us, thank God, He gives us His holy word. He gives us His word. And in that word is every answer we have. Are you with me? Every answer that we could possibly have. One time people came to Smith Wigglesworth and said, we need counseling. And he said, I want you to get in the altar and pray in the Spirit for an hour and then come back to me and then I'll counsel you. They came back an hour later and said, I already got my answer. Right? One preacher went and did it like this. He said, someone came to him and said, I need some counseling. He said, fine. All I ask you to do is go to every service this week, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Monday I'll counsel you. By Sunday morning, after the Sunday morning service, all these people went and came to him and said, we don't need counseling. We got our answer. Come on, right? But if you're not hearing the word, then you're not going to hear by the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen? Because what we're going to counsel is no different than what we just preached on Sunday. Come on, amen? I mean, I could tell you of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles that we've had take place. One after another, after another, after another. And I've told them, I said, listen, just do it the Bible way. Don't try to make up a new way. Do it the Bible way. I had a woman come to me and say, well, I've got a sister. She lives 4.5 hours away. She needs a miracle. Just say a little prayer. I said, well, little prayers get little answers. Little prayers get little answers. I said, do you want a big answer or you want a little answer? She said, no, I want a big answer. I said, okay, well then tell her to come here and then she'll be healed. She said, you don't understand. It's 4.5 hours away. I said, if there was a doctor that was 4.5 hours away that possibly could get her well, would she go? Of course. Come on, somebody. Now this is me, so don't hold Pastor Rick to this, but this is me. All right? So in 31 years of ministry that I've been in, I can count on one hand the amount of people that I prayed for far away that were healed. So when people bring me a prayer request, they say, okay, this is not a likely thing. Why? Because first off, we don't see that pattern in the New Testament. There's no pattern for that in the New Testament. That is entirely invented in the modern church. And then people come up with new inventions. Well, there's no distance in the spirit and stuff. They just keep adding to it. They just keep adding and adding and adding and adding. When in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, they always brought the sick. I mean, in Acts chapter 5, the Bible says they were laying their family members in the street, hoping not that Peter would pray for them, that Peter's what? Shadow would just fall on them and they'd be healed. So wouldn't it have been a lot easier to bring a piece of paper? Just remember so-and-so, put her on the prayer chain. Remember Aunt Edna, she's got ugly corn toes. Go ahead and pray for Aunt Edna's toes. Wouldn't that have been a lot easier? Come on. But why didn't Peter do it? He didn't. We don't even see any record of it in five major books of the New Testament. Come on. So why don't we do it the Bible way? And we'll get Bible results. So the woman had her sister come. The sister came with a broken neck. You guys saw her video night before last. I showed the video. She ripped the neck brace off and she was totally healed of a broken neck. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. I mean, just last year. I think it was last year. It all kind of runs together. We were in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Gal came and she was healed. And I knew this girl when she was 12. She used to babysit my son and in the meetings and stuff. And I said, hey, how's your sister? She says, not good. She's got a serious terminal stomach disease. I said, does she live here in Sioux Falls? She said, yes. I said, tell her to come. We're going to minister to her and see, get her healed this week. And so she said, well, she goes to a church that the pastor won't let anyone go to any other church. In fact, he teaches that if you go to another church, you'll go to hell. That's the honest truth. That's what she thought. So her husband was afraid that he'd lose his wife to hell for her going to get healed. So I said, well, have you ever heard of a drive-by shooting? She said, yes. I said, we're going to do a drive-by healing. I said, you just get her in the car. Drive by the church. You don't even have to take it out of drive. I'll run out of the church in the middle of the service and I'll lay hands on the girl. We'll get her healed. God's honest truth. That's what I told this woman. And so she was like, well, I don't know. I said, well, there's a gas station next door. She could put it in park and fill up the car and I'll just run over to her. Now, this woman that was dying had been on baby food for 2 years. Baby food. Her stomach had shrunk so small. She was about 80-some pounds, 28-year-old woman. The doctors gave her less than a year to live. She was slowly dying. So the next night, I didn't know what was going to happen, so I was kind of ready for anything. So I get to the church, and I'm shocked. Here's the woman sitting there next to her sister. And she sat there. She was just afraid, and you could just see the fear all over her that she was going to go to hell for coming to be healed. And so I went over and gave her a big hug and stuff. And so I started ministering. Now, the other night before last, I talked about words and on how a study's been done that words actually even change the molecular structure of water. And so I spoke to the water. I had my water bottle. I just took a drink. I said, I bless this water in the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus, this is healing water. And so I give it to the girl. I said, Morgan, drink this water. You'll be healed. The girl took it. I mean, she chugged it all the way down, right? So she drinks this water all the way down, and she's crying the whole time. She's in so much stomach pain. After she drank the water, I don't know, 20 minutes later, the service was over. Everyone went home. As everyone went home, Morgan went home with her sister. And on the way home, she made her sister stop and buy her a Mexican dinner. All right. You got to have faith to eat a Mexican dinner to begin with, much less if you got a stomach disease that you're done. I mean, dear Jesus, I mean, hello. I mean, you might as well just ate a brick with, you know, some sauce on it, you know. Wow. And this girl ate it and she was totally healed. Come on, somebody. No trace of cancer, no trace of trouble at all. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone say faith. See, God gives us faith to believe him, to trust in him. Amen. And so we thank God for that. So would you, this morning, would you put that Holy Ghost on just quietly for me? That'll be great. Hallelujah. So Heavenly Father, today we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you gave to every man, every person, everybody that's here, the measure of faith. Lord, we thank you that you challenged us to build our faith, to build our believing capacity in trusting and believing you. So even now, this morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that's here to heal. Lord, we thank you for tonight's healing service, that all of the sick that come tonight, Lord, we just trust, we believe that every person that's hands laid on are going to be healed tonight. That every sickness, every pain, every inflammation, every cancer, every arthritis, all of it will go tonight. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you thanks for that right now. Just before we do anything else, I just want you to raise both your hands toward heaven. I just want you to just spend the next few, couple minutes here. We're just going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. Just pray in your heavenly language right now. Shida. Fingzimi tokolambora. Zindabaya tokolobe. Jembaya tokolobabambando rebespestato. Zaptapikata kalamandapahana da mandesa. Come on a little bit louder, church. Press in just a little bit. Shibi Saba Babada Maria Toko Tundura Babas Peshtara. Jotokoloba Bombre Badeba Remes Pashtati Tando Tandoreba. Vinde Badiato Konda Bombambos Bododoso. Jum de Vicasa. Kando Brusso Bora de Shisesti. Zingi Biato Kolabama Mambarina. Come on, just one more minute. Just bring the music down just a little bit. Bam bom bando reba spasha sada da bando. Bang de bariata kada da namasa. Thanana mandiasa. Now, I hear the Lord say this. For this is the way to walk in. This is the way of my kingdom. The Lord says today, walk in this way. Walk in power. Walk in authority. Walk in dominion over the enemy. Don't be any longer his doormat, but rise, speak to the mountain to be removed, and it'll be moved away from you. For even this day, the Lord says, for I've put my power on the inside of you to be demonstrated through you in the nations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. So before we pray for people, in a second we're going to do an offering. But last night I shared with you about our partnership and what we're doing in Uganda and in the nations. And we're actually rescuing young girls and human trafficking as well in different places. And so if you have those cards, just fill them out. Leave them with me at the book table this morning. But we're going to receive an offering in a second. Pastor, you want to come and do that? And we'll do that, and then we're going to pray for people at the end. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to pray. Just continue to pray. Some awesome, awesome things happening this morning in the Spirit. People being released. We thank you, Father. We thank you for Tom. We thank you for Scarella Ministries, God. Lord, as we obey, as we obey, God, what you're saying this morning, Lord, as we release fresh and anew your word into our lives, oh God, you've taken us to a new level, Lord. A new level of intimacy, God. We thank you for this ministry being obedient. This man of God being obedient to speak a word fitly in season. God, we pray as we give this morning, Lord, that this soil that we're sowing into, God, reap a bountiful harvest in Scarella Ministries. You have blessed Tom and Susie as they travel. Lord, this orphanage in Africa, Father, that you would bless this orphanage, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for the privilege of coming alongside this ministry. sowing into this ministry, Lord. Thank you for what this man has sown into us. In Jesus' name.